The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys, Guys Radio, we're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And guess what? This week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about being a psychic medium and mentor with special guest, world-renowned psychic Karen Dockery, who's coming to us all the way from Scotland, British Isles. So what happens when intuition, spirit communication, and healing intersect? Well, this week on our show, we welcome psychic medium Karen Dockery, and we're going to have a fascinating conversation about connecting with the other side, developing intuition, getting signs from loved ones, spiritual awakenings, and how mediumship can help people heal, grow, and live more consciously, all here on this week's Guys Guys Radio. And I think you're really going to like Karen. During the show, we're going to talk about the difference between being a psychic and a medium. We're going to talk about how to choose a psychic or a medium if you want to do that type of work or go for a session, and kind of what to look for and what the expectations are. The other thing is, I recently had a reading with Karen that I will tell you about at the close of the show after the interview, and it was absolutely amazing. She was 100% accurate and very, very nice to deal with, and I highly endorse her. So I think you're really going to enjoy our show today. Karen Dockery, coming from Scotland, right here to Guys Guys Radio to talk about being a psychic, working with a medium, and the mentorship that they can provide if you want to choose that path for yourself.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, it's Guys Guys Radio. It is the interview portion of our show. So what happens when intuition, spirit communication, and healing intersect? Well, this week on Guys Guys Radio, I'm going to welcome psychic medium Karen Dockery for a fascinating conversation about connecting with the other side, developing intuition, getting signs from loved ones who may have passed, spiritual awakenings, and how mediumship can help people heal, grow, and live more consciously. So this is going to be a great episode. My special guest, again, Karen Dockery. She's an intuitive healer and a spiritual guide who has helped many people connect with loved ones in spirit, help them develop their own intuitive abilities, and better understand the unseen energies that shape our lives. So welcome to Guys Guys Radio from Scotland, Karen Dockery.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Okay, let's start right at the beginning for most people that I've interviewed who have had the similar gifts as you have. they had a, there was a pattern in terms of when they picked up their gift and then when they started to actually use it. So when did you first realize you had intuitive or psychic abilities, Karen?
Oh, I think it was probably around the teenage years for me, even though I had felt spirit around me from a young age and I was aware of other people from another place. I used to call it the other place. So I was aware there was something going on, but I didn't actually realize I was a medium until late into my teens, maybe even early 20s. And I think that that's because it felt so natural and normal for me that I didn't really question that. And maybe when I noticed, oh, this is a little bit different. You know, my friends aren't doing this, or other people are maybe pointing out to me that this is a bit strange or whatever. So that's when I started to really look at it and kind of discover what it was.
So what were some of the first things that happened to you that you said, oh, this is different, and why am I getting this information, or and what did you see, if anything?
So when I was really young, like maybe the age of 3 or 4, I remember being on a bus with my mum one day and we were travelling along past a graveyard. And I remember looking out of the window and thinking, oh, wow, there's lots of people there. Why are they all there? And I asked my mother at the time and said, why are all of these people walking? And she just kind of looked at me as if, you know, there's nobody there and it's my imagination. But I do remember thinking right at that point, I wonder if I'm buried in there. And it was a thought that came in. And for a 4-year-old, that's not like a natural thought. And I never, ever forgot that. And even when I went through school, maybe the age of 7, 8, 9, I used to just feel things differently. We would all say the Lord's Prayer, for instance. It was a Christian school. And I would say the Lord's Prayer. And then we would be getting asked about God and what does God look like and all of the rest of it. And my answers were completely different than other people's. So then taking that forward to teenage years, and I was picking up things for friends, you know, I would say, oh, I've got your grandmother, she's standing beside you and she's telling me this and telling me that. And then at that age, of course, my friends were saying, that's strange. Like, what, you know, where are you getting that from? And that's when it really started to kind of make me feel like this is something else that I need to look at. Because my grandmother, my father's mother, she used to say, oh, Karen brings spirit with her. She could see it. And I would tell her, oh, there's a man in the kitchen. And she would say, oh, the dead don't harm you. So she had made it completely normal for me, so much so that I don't think I questioned it until other people started questioning it.
So this was something that ran in the family then, your grandmother, and was there somebody before her who also had this gift?
So I know my grandmother was mediumistic, although she didn't use it, although she was kind of locally known as a bit of a healer, but she didn't really say she was a medium. But her sister was a medium. She did altered state mediumship and she worked, you know, as a medium. So it definitely is in that side of the family.
Okay. Have you had visitations on your own? It seems like the core of what you do, a lot of it is about connecting people with others who have crossed over. Have you been given a message from spirit, if you will, that you have this gift and here's how to use it, or did you just have to sort that out for yourself?
I just kind of had to sort that out for myself initially. And I remember feeling, you know, I was speaking to a medium from our local spiritualist church. I used to visit the churches quite often because I was very drawn to mediumship all through my younger life. I read mediumship books. I watched mediums if I got a chance to, and I would go to these churches. And I was speaking to one of the mediums afterwards, and I said to her, you know, I got all of these like noises and voices at nighttime, like 100 different voices, almost like a radio station being tuned in, and you could just hear lots of different people all at once. And she said to me, well, that's because you have to develop this. And I said, well, develop, what do you mean? And she said, well, you're a medium. And when she pointed it out to me, I was like, no way am I a medium, because for me straight away, I could see what mediums done, and it was a massive responsibility. And I thought it was the most amazing gift. So for me, I was like, oh, no, that's not for me. But then she invited me along to a development group and I went. And the minute I sat down, it just all fell into place. It felt like I was home, and it just made me feel like I made sense of myself at that point. So from then on, it was just about developing that and developing a relationship with my spirit guides and spirit team, and then just figuring it out, really.
So when you've had a lot of experience dealing with people who have passed over, I always wonder why are they available? Why do they want to? Are they tying up loose ends sometimes that they make themselves available to people who are still a lot, quote unquote, alive, so they can get through to them to sew things up, or are they just there to be guides for us and sometimes take the role of guardian angels or whatever? Why are the people who crossed over, why they kind of come back and make themselves available?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I feel like all the answers you gave are correct. So on one hand, sometimes if someone's passed quickly, for instance, or traumatically, maybe didn't get their goodbyes with their family, or maybe felt like they had more to say, then yes, absolutely. In that instance, you'll find that they want to make that communication happen just so that they can put the person here at peace, really, because they know where they are by that time. So the minute we cross over, we know that we are back home because that's where we come from. We are all spirit in human form. So we go home and we know that we're home, but there might still be that need to let our family know or our person know I'm all right. And, even though I didn't get to see you at that last moment, or maybe there had been like a conflict or a fallout and it's just unsettled waters and they want to come back and try and somehow heal that wound. So that can happen quite often. And then if it's not about that, it usually is just literally about telling people I'm still here, I live on. You will see me again. Because in the spirit world, there is no time. There's no time over there. So there's only time in our world because the sun comes up, it goes down. It's 24 hours. That's human. That's a human construct. So when we go to the spirit world, there is no time. So, of course, the people in the spirit world don't grieve the same as us because they know that we're going to see each other again very, very soon in their eyes because of the time thing. And then the other part that you mentioned about guides and guardians, well, they never become our guides. We have guides that are kind of assigned to us, when we come here, but they do become our guardians. They will want to watch over us, and they will want to influence things if they can influence maybe what we think sometimes in the sense of if we're looking for answers, they might want to help with that, but they can't intervene in our life. Our life is our free will.
Can they intervene if you ask them for help?
They don't intervene. They don't take decisions for us. They won't make decisions for us. They are there to perhaps guide us, but they will guide in a very soft and subtle way.
Got it. So what's from your experience, what do you think, Karen, is going on the other side when people pass? Kind of a multiple question here, which I sometimes do. What happens when they cross over, and what's going on over there? And if there's no time, could they already be on to their next incarnation while they are dealing with us?
So reincarnation is a big subject as well. So the easiest way I can say it is if you have, let's say, a mum that goes to the spirit side, even if you're not in the spirit side for another 60 years after that mother, she's still going to be there. You're still going to make that connection. Because what happens is when we incarnate, we come and have this experience as us. So right now I'm Karen, this is my incarnation, this is what I'll do. And then when I go back home to the spirit world, I will return to source, which is my spirit, right? So the incarnation of Karen is the soul, but the spirit of Karen is in the spirit world, which is my higher self. So I will go back home, I will be reconnected to source. Then another incarnation can happen from the same spirit. So another part of my spirit can incarnate, but it wouldn't be Karen because Karen has already had her life here. So Karen would always be there. Does that make sense?
So are you then, as Karen, are you, what's your connection to the other versions of your spirit that have been incarnated either in the past or in the future? How are they
Oh.
all you?
Yeah, they're all part of the whole of the spirit. So if you can think about it like, if you look at it like maybe the facets of a diamond, so the diamond is there and the facets of the diamond emanate different parts, right? So that would be the soul's incarnations, but you're all part of the same diamond. So that's why I think people talk about past lives and they feel things from a past life. Well, it's not actually them that's walked that life. It's maybe part of their spirit that's walked that life, but not them because they've incarnated as them.
So are on the other side then in the spirit world, is there a group of some people say that there's like you have like a soul family, or they follow you, they're kind of with you incarnation to incarnation, and then that's part of a bigger oversoul of everything, I guess. So is this all layered?
Yeah, that's the best way you can describe it. I really do feel that. I feel there's many different layers and levels and different incarnations at different times. And I'm not an expert on this, but I can only say what I've learned through my mediumship and my development and how it feels, because there's an intelligence to spirit. And I think sometimes in this world, things get turned into entertainment and they get turned into big, huge stories of fantasy and things like that. And I just like keeping it quite grounded, as if, we are spirit, we are all here. But the biggest thing about reincarnation or past lives, I think that we get quite obsessed with it, or there is a lot of obsession about it. And I think, what we're here to do in this moment is be us. Like, really, we're not shouldn't be concerned about past, because if we were supposed to remember it, we would. So it's about being present within this journey, because it's very temporary.
Now, when we're on the other side, maybe between lives and with spirit, do we then, some people say that we make agreements and we choose kind of our what's going to happen in our next incarnation based on lessons we may want to learn, need to learn, and there may be some people who play different roles, and maybe even we choose our parents and other people who have influence in our lives. Is that how would you kind of unpack that?
Yeah, I do think there's something in that. I do feel that we do choose our parents, or do incarnate with certain, not agreements, but maybe predetermined, parts of the life. But I don't necessarily feel that it's all mapped out and we are meant to follow the map. I think that really we come here to navigate through life with our intuition, which is like an inner sat nav, I call it, which is your higher self, that part that's connected to spirit. And then we just do our best. And then, yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we might go on the wrong path or come back onto the right path and such like. And we might have people in our lives that we're not supposed to have in our lives, and stay in relationships we're not supposed to stay in sometimes. But there's always lessons that come out of that, which, as a whole, will develop the person, and you'll learn things about yourself. So I feel like this journey is meant to be about us. It's meant to be about taking care of yourself and kind of giving yourself the best chance in life. But yes, there are some predetermined factors, people that are meant to be in your life, for instance, and maybe certain situations that might pop up that you just feel like that was meant to happen. But everything else aside of that is us, it's free will.
Okay, Karen Dockery, amazing psychic medium from Scotland, is with us today on Guys Guys Radio. Some people also say, Karen, that we have potential exit points throughout our lives where we could kind of go off the road, if you will, and into the next world, or maybe not do that. I personally feel that I've seen a couple of these where that could have been bye-bye, but it didn't turn out that way, and I think there were reasons for that, and I think part of it was my own will and decisions. What's your take on the potential exit points that people have? Are they predetermined? And when you have a life kind of contracts and stuff like that, can you change your contract as you go along if you have free will?
I personally don't ever really talk about contracts. I hear that a lot, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, because I really don't know. But what I would say is, I do feel that we're just here to be here as long as we can be here, which means if there's like an accident and someone passes, for instance, I don't believe that's meant to happen, right? You'll get people that say it is meant to happen, it was their time. I believe that accidents happen because we're human beings and things happen. I believe that the human side of us, some of us maybe live in a certain way, do things to maybe that are can be harmful to our bodies, that might create that time of us going earlier, So I think that we do, a lot of it is free will, and yet I know that there's examples of times, and I've been in one myself, where it seems like someone should pass and they don't. So I'm really on the fence about it, Robert, but I feel, most of the time, I think we're supposed to just be here as long as we can be here. And when it happened to me, I was in a terrible car crash, and it was so my that my car was like, you couldn't recognize the car, and I managed to get out of that with one tiny scratch on me. And I felt when that was happening, that I was in this bubble where I was being guided and told it was going to be okay. And I don't feel that was because I'm a medium. I feel that that was just, you can call it angels, you can call it guides, you can call it higher beings, but I just feel that I was being protected. So in that kind of example, then I would say, okay, well, that was, that I was lucky to still be alive. So yeah, there's a bit of protection in there at times. But if you think about how many accidents happen every single day all over the world, or traumatic things, that that wouldn't stand to reason that they could just jump in and save everyone,
Now, when you're communicating with the spirit in general, do you have a group of collective that works with you, or do you have specific guides that work with you, or is it just strictly spirit in total?
So I always call them my spirit team, and I believe that there are different guides and helpers that come in and out at different times. So when I am, for instance, sitting for the altered states in my mediumship, which is a different kind of mediumship, it's trance mediumship. So you're going into a deeper kind of altered state that spirit can come closer to the medium. I know I have a certain guide that helps me with that. I know I have another guide that will help me when I'm on platform or stage doing, events and demonstrating. So yeah, I think that we get different guides at different parts, and that's what it feels like for me. And I often kind of say it's similar to being at school. In year one, you're going to get a year one teacher, but in year five, you're going to get a year five teacher. And I just feel like they all come in dependent on what you need for your development at that time.
Now, you've had more experience with working with your guys on the other side than a lot of people, because even though they should have the ability, it's just not developed. What would be your recommendation to people who really want to work with their helpers or guides on the other side?
Well, I think the first thing is building a relationship with them, and that seems like impossible sometimes. You think, how do I begin to do that? So the best advice I could give is to do meditation. Now, when I talk about meditation, people automatically sometimes think, oh, I can't meditate. My mind's too busy, or I can't shut my mind off. But you don't have to when you meditate. When you meditate, thoughts will still come in. Your brain is still active. So you just have to then learn how to observe those thoughts instead of being into them or invested in them. Just observe them and let them kind of flow through your mind. And just find that quiet place to go to. The minute you can start to learn to center yourself and go into a quiet place, you can ask your guides and helpers to meet you there. You can ask them to help, let you know that they're there. And I just think if you practice that like once a week or once a month or whatever it might be that you fit into your life, the more you practice that, the more that that will develop and you'll get your signs. And it's not like guides are just going to step forward and give you their full name and their history and who they are. It's going to come in little subtle ways and little hints, and that's how communication works. But I do think partly is when we're talking about guides, it's because they want you to trust, they want you to have the faith that they are there, and they will give you the information when they feel that you're ready to receive that.
So, Karen, then what happens with people when they, since you work with a lot of people who have crossed over, what from your experience, what happens when people die, if you will, quote unquote, even though they never die, but when they pass from the physical realm as whoever they are in the 3D?
So making the transition, you'll have heard yourself, I'm quite sure, from people that you know or stories that you've heard, that a lot of people talk about the spirit world before they even go. Like they'll maybe on their last days, if they've, let's say they've been, in hospice or something like that, they will talk about seeing someone that's already crossed over, like they're really seeing them. And a lot of times it's blamed on medication or disorientation. But actually, that is what's happening. So as we make our transition to the spirit side, we are looking towards the spirit side. We are not really looking back here. So again, that helps people to know that when maybe they've missed a passing, like they didn't get there on time, or someone passed before they got there. And I always say, well, they weren't really paying attention to this world by that time. They were already transitioning. So we are met by our loved ones. We are met by the ones that we know and recognize and love. And we know instantly that we are in the spirit world because we come from there. It feels like home. So it's always a peaceful transition, even in, I would say, in a traumatic circumstance or an unexpected or sudden death here in this world. that can take time emotionally for the spirit to come to terms with. It's not that they are stuck, it's not that they are in a limbo or that they're grounded here. It's just that they will know they're in the spirit world, but they still might feel that shock or feel like that grief that they didn't get to really say goodbye, or they will have to process the emotion of that.
Okay. Now, so there's no then, do they go through a life review? A lot of people talk about you go to the other side and then you go through a life review and then you make a determination as to kind of what's next. And does that actually occur from your experience, what you've heard?
Yeah, definitely life reviews happen. And it's more about looking at your life and seeing how you were in this life and what your impact was in this life. So maybe your impact on other people or situations or the lessons that you've learned. But it's not a review like someone's going to stand in judgment of it. The only person that can judge that life review is you. So if I go over and I look at my life, I can then look at my life and say, well, how do I feel about that? What should I have done or what could I have done different? It's more about me learning from it rather than the old kind of ways that people say, well, you'll go to heaven or you'll go to the other place or you'll do this or you'll do that. It doesn't really happen like that. It's more about us looking at our lives and coming to terms with what we did in this lifetime and could we have done something different and should we have learned other lessons?
A lot of people are now talking these days about the Akashic records, where everything is kind of recorded, that every thought, every action is that true?
I will say that I feel definitely there's something in that. I've not had, again, much experience of it, but one of my teachers, Mavis Patilla, who was, an amazing medium, she used to talk about the Akashic records a lot, being able to kind of go into those records. So I do think things are recorded in senses, but I don't know the dynamics of that or how those work. But I actually do feel like everything that we do is recorded in the energy anyway. So it's like if you go to, let's say, like in Scotland, there's lots of castles, which is
Right.
where the battles used to happen. If you go into a castle or any old building, you will feel the energy of that. It's residual energy. It's like it's recorded in the ether. So if you think about it like that, then it has to be the same with our thoughts and feelings and things. They're recorded somewhere. So I do believe in them, yes, but I'm not an expert on them.
Okay. So when somebody goes across and then they kind of have a life review and they're like, okay, I got it. I know what I did wrong. Now, do they have to go back into the 3D, into another person, if you will, to kind of make good on like what they've learned this, and have other challenges that come in front of them that will help them demonstrate that they know how to handle situations and make better decisions?
Not that I believe, no. I think again that's like you hear people saying that, well, you'll just have to come back and do it all over again, or you'll just have to do this and that. I don't believe that because if you think about the reincarnation aspect of things, where it's a different part of your spirit that's incarnating, it's not you. You've lived your life, you've done your life, you've had that chance. So then I think you just develop in the spirit world after that. You just kind of go through what you go through in spirit. So a different emanation of you can come in, but they wouldn't have to learn the lessons that you didn't learn, if that makes sense. I think that I don't think any of us know until we get there, really. But I think from what I know from spirit and some communicators that have, told me that they've had their life review or shared things with me, I do believe that actually happens. But I don't necessarily believe you have to live it all again to try and make amends at something.
Now, why would kind of in the same vein, the same topic, why would somebody between lives choose to come into this life and be a quadriplegic, for instance, or somebody who really has, a really tough road in this life? Is that on purpose that they've chosen that, or is it random, or a combination, or what?
I don't, that's one that I do have trouble with, I've got to be honest. Because in my heart and soul and in my spirit, I don't believe that someone would choose that. I believe that biology can go wrong. I believe that things can happen. I don't necessarily believe that that's anything to do with spirit. I think that's more to do with the human form. So I don't feel like there's somebody in the spirit world kind of saying, well, you're going to be born into this and that's what you're going to. To me, that doesn't make sense. Now, I know that a lot of other mediums might say the opposite and they might say, yes, it's about their challenges and that. It just doesn't sit with me. I just think that it's terrible when someone has to be going through such a hard situation. It's like when you look at people's lives, for instance. Now, I do thousands of readings, and some clients, when I've read for them, they've just had the most traumatic life, and there's just no rhyme or reason for it. And I can't sit there and say, well, they must have chose that, because that just does not make any sense when we're coming from a place of love. We're coming from source. So I don't believe that that would be inflicted on someone on purpose to see how they handled it. It just doesn't make sense for me. So I think these situations are just, unfortunately, life situations, things that can happen in the human world, and the spirit has to then learn to cope with it.
So my special guest on Guys Guys Radio, psychic medium Karen Dockery from Scotland. Now, usually on the show, people are expecting sometimes like they want you to either look into something or predict something. And I know we talked about this and we're going to do it separately. Karen's going to read me separately, but is there anything that you can share just from our in terms of I think it'd be good to for people to understand how people like you work. So being that you're not totally in the zone to read me, and you will be, but not right now. But do you just pick up on vibes with people in your day-to-day life? And like our conversation here, can you get anything out of that? Or do you have to completely turn on and, wax on, wax off type of thing?
Yes, it depends. Sometimes when I'm speaking to someone, suddenly I'll have a little feeling about something, or I'll be like, that's strange, and I'll get a little nudge, like I would call it. Other times, yeah, you just kind of have to be in the right frame of mind to do it. And I think, again, with mediumship, I think this is a or psychic work, I think that it's a myth that we're switched on all the time. You hear people say, and you hear mediums saying, oh, I can do it anytime. And yes, maybe so you can switch your awareness on. But if you're wanting a true connection, if you want a developed connection, then you have to be in the right frame of mind for that.
Right.
Psychically, when you're reading for someone psychically, you are going into their energy. So if I was reading for you psychically, I'm going to go into your energy. It's nothing to do with the spirit world. There's nothing to do with spirit people in that kind of reading.
Okay.
It's more about your energy. And then mediumship is more about the spirit world.
Okay. Now, what do most people come to you for, Karen?
I would say it's probably 70% psychic, 30% mediumship. So I would say that a lot of people need you to help them with their lives, their guidance, things that they're going through. They want to know the potential for things to come. And then obviously when people lose someone, they're desperate to feel that person or get communication. So I'd say in today's dynamic and the way the world is right now, especially, I feel like a lot of people are asking about their life and need to know more about them and their guidance.
Well, things are, as you know, it's very complicated right now. There's so much going on, whether it be wars or disclosure and the economies, and it's so much. It seems like there's never been more pressure on people on a day-to-day basis. And it seems like it to me, feels like there's something behind that. The screws are being tightened all the time. What is your sense as to what's going on in the world now? And do we need to go through more chaos to get to a better place as a race?
That is what I feel. I just feel like you've hit it on the head there. I think that I get asked this question quite a lot. And really, I just honestly feel like we're going through some transitional phase where it feels like everything's crashing down and it feels chaotic and it feels like there's so much disarray around the world right now. I mean, we've always had war-torn conditions. We've all, going back years and decades, I mean, that's always been going on. But for some reason, just now, it just feels like the whole world's imploding. That's how it feels for people. And it's a heavy energy. Like, I honestly speak to people all the time, and it's like they're all carrying the weight of the world. That's how it feels. But I honestly do feel like it's almost like it's getting to a crescendo. If it feels to me like there's going to be good that comes out of this. I was talking to my 19-year-old son the other week, and I said to him, good is coming out of this. I know it doesn't seem like it. I know that how can it be? Because there's so much, there's so much going on, and people are dying, and there's lots going on in war conditions. But there's something that's coming at the back of this for humanity. There is. I can feel that. So time-wise, I don't know, but I just feel like this has been a. It's almost like an evolution. Do you know what? I feel like we're going through something that was going to happen because of the way the world was going and the way that society is now and how fast-paced the world is and everything's technology. It's quite frightening because what we do is we forget to connect with source. We just forget that there's source there. It's all about computers and AI, and it's quite a scary place. But I do think good will outweigh bad eventually.
What's your take, Karen, on all what's going on with disclosure? Like 10 years ago, people were th thinking like, "Oh, flying saucers, sure, you're crazy." Now it's you turn on the news, and it's basically here's based on the declassification of documents, government documents. They're saying, "Okay, here's four ET races that have been around and are around right now, and who knows?" I would assume if they're saying there's four, there's probably 4,000. But the bottom line is, it's things are coming out now, and there's been a lot of different discussion about what are humans really? Were we manipulated? Was our DNA manipulated by others who came to the planet? Do we have, reptilians living inside of the Earth? What's your sense? What information do you get as to what's going on with this whole disclosure thing, and what's true, what isn't? What do we still need to know? And I would think it's going to turn out to be a good thing after the sticker shock, because I think people are going to be really surprised when they learn some of the things that are going to be outed, if you will.
Yeah, I think for lots of years there have been people that have been talking about this for many years, and I think that they were kind of, conspiracy theorists they were
Right.
called, or David Icke being one of them. David
Right,
Icke's
right.
been talking about this for many years.
Yep.
And some of it feels very far-fetched, to the human mind. But you have to remember that we are very controlled as humans. Governments do control things, and religion, and like we're all sheep. We all kind of follow what we're told should be best. And so when these far-fetched things come out that people are like, "That's crazy," and now that are coming out and it is
Right.
real, you can only sit back and realize that our human mind is so limited in the way that it thinks and the way it's been controlled. And by that, I don't mean there's one specific person controlling that. I mean, like, TV shows and films. When we watch all of these things, that is us conditioning our mind to what is real, and half of that is not real. The real stuff we're going to be in shock about. So I think that in future times and time to come, we're going to find out a lot more. And I think, again, it's coming because it has to. I think that people are saying now we want truth. As long as we get truth, and as long as we don't want things to be hidden anymore, we need to know what is. And I think that the more people shout about that, the more it'll come out. And my teacher from many years ago, when I first started, she said to me then, "Oh, there's going to be a revolution at some point where society is going to demand." They're going to take over. They're going to be the power, and they're going to demand the answers. And to this day, I think about that and think she's right. That it's going to be a long time coming from when she said it, but it is going to happen because people are switching on now and saying, "Well, that's not the truth. This is the truth." So I think there's a more people are seeking the truth now, and I think that that will happen.
Now, you mentioned something about your teacher and neglected to ask you earlier, and that is when you learned you had this gift and you talked about the spiritualist church, what was the teaching like? I guess you had to develop your skill, to develop your gift, you had to have some training by people who've already been there. Is that true? And if so, what was that like?
Yeah, so I mean, you don't have to go for training. You could be quite natural medium and just sit within that for yourself. But I always wanted more knowledge, so I went into a development group initially, which was just in a woman's house in my local town, and we all sat together every Wednesday night, and we just would like share what we got. So it would get, it's like working a muscle at the gym. The more you do it, the more you're going to be in tune with it. But after that, I attended the Arthur Findlay College in Stansted in London, which is a Big spiritualist college. People come from all over the world, all year round. It's an amazing place with some amazing tutors. And so I started to go there, and two of my tutors, my main tutors, I would say, were from Canada. And I still, to this day, I'm in touch with them and go and hear them work and hear them talk, because their level of knowledge is just so profound. So I decided to go down that route of development and always trying to better my knowledge or drink more knowledge in, just to make me feel whole as a medium. Like, if I'm going to talk to people about this, I need to know the information. Plus, at the same time, you develop your own uniqueness in your mediumship. So my mediumship's not going to be the same as the next person, or the next person won't be the same as me. We are all very unique in how we work with our mediumship. So you need to develop it so you know yourself.
Now, what should people know if they're going to seek the information from somebody like yourself, a spiritual medium, and a psychic? What should they do? Because there's a lot of people who are really good and really sincere, and I can tell you are because you've set kind of the ground level. You didn't say, oh, I'll just read you right now, snap. You said, no, we're going to do this the right way. We're going to do this separately. I thought that was great. But what should people know when they're looking around saying, hey, I'd like to talk to a medium, but I'm not sure what I'm looking for, and I'm not sure the questions that I should ask to ferret out if they're for real or how good they are or not? Because a lot of people are saying they're really great at this and they're not. And a lot of people are great at this. And it gives the good ones a bad name when you have people who aren't that good and saying, yeah, I'm really great.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's hard for people that maybe, like, if you've not heard of a medium or someone's not been recommended to you, it's sometimes difficult. But even saying that, though, Robert, you know, I've heard people recommend certain people, certain mediums, to people, and I think, why? Like, the standard was not good, you know? And it's not me judging someone else, because mediumship's hard, it's not easy. But I think if you are going to see a medium, the way that you will know they're authentic and genuine is if they explain this to you. Like, I will say to every client, you know, I'm going to try my best for you and we're going to share this experience together. But if I feel it's not working, I'll be the first to tell you it's not working. I'm not just going to pad out your time or make things generic just to fill your time. I need to feel the connection. And I think when mediums say things like that, it allows that client to trust them to say, right, okay, you know, this is going to be fine. Because a lot of people come in, they're spending money for a start, right? And they're coming in and they're trusting you with their vulnerabilities, because when people come, they're very vulnerable and they're handing themselves over to you, basically. And mediums can and they shouldn't influence people's decisions. But sometimes I hear about things where the medium's telling them what to do, and that should not happen. A medium should only be giving you what they've got and giving you it so that then you could go away and make your decisions about your life, or, you know, your connection or what you feel. But if you're with someone and you go away feeling not sure or a little bit worse or don't know, then you have to trust your own intuition on it. A genuine, authentic medium will make you feel at ease. You will feel the experience was a great experience, even if the medium didn't connect with the person you wanted, or even if the medium said, well, I don't have a strong connection, you will still feel better for it because you'll know that medium was honest. So I think that you've got to use your own discernment with that as well.
So, as a medium, do you, without giving away your secrets, do you do a little checklist when you meet with somebody, or you just get into their energy and it goes from there?
I always make them comfortable, tell them what I do, how I'm going to work. I'll often say there's two ways I can work, psychic or mediumistic. Is there a preference or is it a mixture? Just to see, because some people come and they haven't really lost anyone, so they just want psychic. So it depends what they need, but their needs should be met within the reading. That's what I would say. And I'll always give them the opportunity to ask questions as well.
That's fantastic. You know, when I was thinking about all these people talk to people on the other side, and I have, you know, my parents both passed. I feel their presence. I know they love me. I don't, and they support me. And I forgive them for any, you know, if they, you know, everybody's human and they forgive me. And so it's like I'd like to communicate with them, but I feel like I am. I don't need a medium to be in touch with my mom or dad. I just feel like that they, it's all good. Is that happen often, or am I being strange?
You're definitely not being strange. You're actually bang on because we all can communicate with our own loved ones. Now, we're not going to hear their voices sometimes, obviously, and we're not going to hear them in the way that we would expect to hear another human being. But by feeling the presence or just trusting that we are connected to them, it holds them close. So I always say to people, you know, validate your loved ones, validate your mum and dad, talk to them on a daily basis if you want to. They will be there listening. You might not hear them or feel them right in that moment, but they will make their presence felt in other ways. And
Fantastic.
that's what they try to do.
Okay. My special guest today, a great discussion with psychic medium Karen Dockery, all the way from Scotland. Well, thank you so much, Karen. I look forward to our separate conversation. I'm going to be talking about that in the open and close of this show. And I can't wait to do it. And I thank you for being on Guys Guys Radio.
Thank you so much, Robert.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a fascinating and interesting conversation with psychic medium Karen Dockery on today's Guys Guys Radio. So what did we learn? Well, I think number one, good takeaway is there's a difference between a psychic and a medium, so and a mentor. So psychics deal with your current situation and kind of the future. They help you out, educating you about what's your current situation, some possibilities. And then the mediumship part of it is working with folks who have crossed over. So today, as I mentioned, I was going to have Karen do a reading. She did a reading with me. I said, let's just keep it open, see if anybody shows up. And sure enough, my folks showed up. And it was very emotional because I could feel their presence. And she really nailed my family dynamic. And that was great. And, you know, I didn't need any closure with my parents, but it was really nice to feel the connection with them. So that was great. We also talked about my current situation and things coming up, and, she was spot on in all of those. And when she talks about things coming up, these are possibilities. I have the free will, as we all have the free will, to make the decisions to make things happen. So if you work with a psychic, they're going to tell you about possibilities, but we have free will as we experience every moment of every day. So it's ultimately, it's up to us. And hopefully, one last thing, the mentoring, Karen, as well as some other psychic mediums, work for mentoring. So if you think you have the gift of mediumship or psychic abilities, you can work with somebody who will help coach you in that. So Karen's available for that also. So it's Karen Dockerty, Dockerty.com. Check her out if you're interested in the reading. I had a wonderful experience. I can't speak for the experience you're going to have. That's up to you. But what I do here, as you know, on Guys Guys Radio, I qualify all my guests. I bring them on, and then I leave it up to you what you want to take away from them. And today was a wonderful conversation with Karen Dockerty from Scotland. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.